Lord, I ask that you would speak today to us by story, and that as we interpret those stories, they find the application for our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for you to read together with me Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45, which we had one of our children read to us just a few minutes ago. Here we go. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil man, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Churches and people are like trees. And Jesus is using one here to speak of people like trees. He would use stories to make a point. Now, I'm rather fond of Jesus, mostly because he's rather fond of me. But not only for that reason. He knew how to make a point. Sometimes he used those Velcro sayings like the Sermon on the Mount. He'd just throw them at you and sometimes they'd stick. And he'd also use these stories or pictures. We call them parables, but they're still stories. And I thought it might be good if it's good enough for Jesus. So I'm going to just tell a story for a few weeks here and see how they fly with you. His method is as good as for me as it is for you. So today, as I have been for the last couple of weeks, this is story time. And today, to what shall we compare people in churches? Why, we'll compare them to trees. Once upon a time, there was a man who had an apple orchard high on a mountain plateau. And every year, he carefully nourished the soil beneath each tree and skillfully pruned away the dead wood. And one tree grew near a small spring. And when long periods of dryness came, this tree was able to flourish as if spring rains came every day. The apples on this tree were larger than any others. And the gardener took a special pride in it when harvest came. And every apple was hand-picked and gently placed in the crates. Some years, most of his harvest from the mountain was pressed into cider because the apples were too small from the other trees. However, every year he knew one tree was special. The apples from it would be eaten only by those he chose and only by those who appreciated the juiciest of the fruit. One summer afternoon, however, as the gardener rested beneath the shade of his favorite apple tree, he heard the tree shake its leaves, and he looked up and he noticed that the apples were no larger than on the other trees in the orchards. In fact, they seemed a bit smaller. "What's the matter, favored tree?" asked the gardener. And the tree shook its leaves again and said, "I'm tired." "Tired of what?" asked the gardener. "Tired of doing more than my share. Every year I give you bigger apples and more apples than any other tree." "Well, all your life it's been this way," responded the gardener. "I never knew you minded. I thought you took a special pride in the fruit that you've given." "Well, that's all over now," and the tree shook its leaves. "Well," the gardener asked, "will you be happier now, giving smaller fruit?" "Maybe, maybe not. I just want all the other trees to do their fair share." Once upon a time, there was a pine tree found itself rooted very high upon a mountain ridge. Really, it was above the forest line where the other trees grew. For many years, he liked his view up there, but all was not just perfect. He found the soil very shallow up there. Every morsel of food was scarce. The winds were stronger up there. And the snow some days would completely cover him up. pine tree roots encircled every root and crack that they could get a hold of and find, because he knew that the winter winds cared little about his life, and they really blew hard up there on the ridge. His bark was rough and gnarled like a bird's feet on a perch, and his growth was stunted because he didn't reach for the sky, but because roots were more important than a tall, straight trunk. No lumberman would ever cut him down. Of this, the pine tree was sure. His turned and twisted torso could not produce so much as a single usable 8-foot board. Nevertheless, the pine tree struggled on high on that bitter ridge and never once complained about his plight. He was content to send strong seeds down the barren slope as they fell each year and feed whatever passing animals came his way, and maybe start stronger trees down lower. One summer afternoon, however, a bird lighted on his limb and told of places far below, rich with food and pleasant things. And the wandering bird said, "Come on with me and see how it could be." "My roots are set," said the gnarled tree, "deep in this rock and hill. But tell me what might have been had I grown in some other place." Once upon a time, read with me Luke 13:6-9. This parable of a tree by Jesus. Here we go. "And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, 'Lo, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?' And he answered him, 'Let it alone, sir, this year also, till I dig about it and put on manure. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down.'" And the words of Jesus from Luke chapter 6, where he says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit." Churches and people, they really are like trees. Read with me Mark 8:23-24. "And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands upon him, he asked him, 'Do you see anything?' And he looked up and said, 'I see men, but they look like trees walking.'" Churches and people are kind of like trees. Read with me Mark 8:24-25 at the bottom. "And he looked up and said, 'I see men, but they look like trees walking.' Then again he laid his hands upon his eyes, and he looked intently, and was restored, and saw everything clearly." Are you an apple tree, tired of doing more than your share? Or have you said, "I've worked for years, now it's somebody else's turn"? You bore big, juicy fruits for so many years, but not now. That's all over. You're still capable, but... Or maybe you are bearing big, juicy fruits for Christ right now, today, but you are just waiting for that opportunity to say, "You know, that's all over now. I've done more than my share." Our apple tree, bless his well-watered heart, withered and died a few years later. The gardener was unable to convince him that doing more than his share was his share. First, the limbs grew smaller instead of stronger, and they transferred their weakness to the trunk. And finally, it was only a gentle breeze that felled that tree. Are you like that apple tree? Or are you like that gnarled pine? You've been steady in this life, and though you've been kicked around a lot, you have hung on through all the cold wind and the blizzards of this life, and you were tough and you had strong roots, but the wanderlust of this life hit. Our gnarled old pine indulged in such a wanderlust that his roots no longer sought for the narrow cracks among the hard, cold rocks. He thought about this cruel, cold life that he had been living, and self-pity dried him up. And like cattails rattling in a drained-off pond, the poor bird had no roost next time he went that way. No tree to scold for having roots instead of experiences in new places. Are you like the pine tree? Maybe you are like the fig tree, sitting in the sunshine of God's gracious community, sitting in the community of faith in good soil, plenty of nourishment and a place to grow, but all you bear is leaves. No fruit. You probably could have helped out in the choir when we do the cantatas at Christmas and sometimes at Easter, singing praises to God. You might have helped at some point working with youth or children, children's church, which is going on right now, but somebody asked and you said no. You might have been, could have taught Sunday school or a Sunday school class for adults or served on one of the committees of the church when asked. You might have been asked to serve on a great banquet team, but I've just got leaves. You might have taken time to pray for somebody else on those prayer charts. You might have been around to help serve a meal or help clean a toilet or do an act of agape, but been living in the community of faith in good soil and plenty of nourishment and a place to grow, but all you bear is leaves. You may have resource. You might have money to give, but you hold tightly to it. You might have resource in terms of extra time, but you keep it to yourself. You might have talents in given areas. Time, talents, and treasure. Fruits of who we are. Our fig tree got more than food during that one more year of grace, because his trunk, beside that trunk, the vine dresser laid an axe, sharp as a fish hook's barb. He knew the reason why. Grace and judgment are the right and the left hands of God. The grace is abundant. Food for our bodies for another year, a place to grow and bloom, a special, delicate form to our life, and like any other ever, the grace is always abundant. Salvation is free. He created us good, and he reminds us in our lesson today, the good man, out of his good treasure of his heart, produces good. But you know also what I know? We know we can refuse to bear fruit. We know we hold controls over our own goodness. We know. God's grace is extravagant, but it is not magic. The grace does not save those who would rather count their apples than give them. The grace does not block out the temptations of a passing bird that make us question about our places in life. God's grace does not save those who weary of blooming in little seen places. God's grace does not save the fig tree when the fig tree decides to go to leaf. The profound mystery of salvation. It is given, but it can be refused. The only evidence we have that we are indeed God's good trees is to give of ourselves on this earth. the only sign that we have is the fruit from our lives. That's the evidence. Now, we call it fruit, like apples and pine cones, or maybe figs. We call it time, money, and talent. We do that too. We call it stewardship of all the good that God has given to us. But what it really amounts to is, unless you bear fruit, there is no evidence. All we do is be trees shaking our leaves. What kind of God's children would we be if we pretended to live in the family of God without giving to God what we give to our families? Namely, we give love and affection, service and gratitude and gifts, don't we? God's children don't look to the brothers and sisters to see what they're doing or not doing. They look to the Father for His great gift of His Son, Jesus. And then we do it with grateful hearts. We give up our juiciest red apples. We do it out of ourselves, and we don't compare ourselves with others. The healthiest seeds, the most brilliant blossoms, the abundance of figs or pine cones or apples. It's not a matter of, well, is somebody else doing it? And it's also not just because God may lay His axe at our roots as well. It's because He gave His Son salvation and eternal life. To what shall we compare? Churches and people. We should compare them to trees, because that's what Jesus did. And as He healed that man of his blindness, He says, "Do you see anything?" And he says, "Yeah, I see men, but they look like trees walking." And he applied it one more time. And that man saw clearly what people were. You have ears to hear, may you hear. And you have eyes, may your blindness not get in the way. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You with our lives. The evidence that we have is in the fruit that we give. Not in the leaves that we bear, You have given to us. May we take good note of the way that You talk about us. In Jesus' name, amen.